Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Hotel Mars, Episode N, with David Livingstone, Dr. Space himself. I'm John Batchelor, and we're very pleased to be joined by Professor Chaim Ben-Arroya of Rutgers University, my guide on habitats on other planetary bodies. We're going to start with the moon because of the great success of the India space program to land on the moon, high latitudes, and over these next weeks, there'll be more. There's a small rover on board, much more to learn, but the successful soft landing is a reason to celebrate and to turn to Professor Ben-Arroya, who's the author of several books. I've spoken with the professor over the years about his visionary books, such as Turning Dust to Gold, Building a Future on the Moon and Mars, Lunar Settlements, that's an engineering series, Building Habitats on the Moon. All of this speaks to what is to be done once we get there. Well, we're starting to get there. Professor Chaim, a very good evening to you. High latitudes and the reporting around the world mentions the South Pole. What is desirable? This is a new space race. The Artemis Accords rules out elbowing other people aside. You've got to work collectively. No sovereign territory here, just competing business interests. What is it that attracts them to the South Pole? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be here. Always a pleasure. So the number one thing that attracts people to the South Pole is the discovery back in 2009 by the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter of water ice in significant quantities. So water ice, H2O, we can get oxygen for breathing, we can get hydrogen for fuel, we can get obviously water out of that for people. So that's sort of the lifeblood. Fuel and oxygen and water are the lifeblood of any civilization that we build on the moon.
And right now, because we've just put a lander there, I look down the list of other people who intend to land there. There's Roscosmos that failed recently, but this is space engineering. You try again. There's NASA that wants high-latitude landing, and there are private enterprises looking to high-latitude landing. This is preparation for what? What are they imagining they can do or build? You've built with habitats. Is this a good place to build your habitats where there's permanent shade? Is that an advantage?
Well, there are some advantages and some major disadvantages. So the major advantages are the water is there. They do have regions of permanent darkness where they think there's a lot of water ice that they can recover. Also, there is Malapert Mountain, which is also located at the South Pole, which has near constant sunlight and ideal conditions for communicating with Earth. So those are the positives. The negative is it's extremely rough terrain. It's boulder strewn, a lot of craters, very deep trenches. And if you look at the South Pole on the moon, you see peaks as high as 20,000 feet and crater floors as low as about 24,000 feet. So we're talking about roughly a 50,000 foot difference in elevation. So that's a major challenge. Not that we can't do it, but it's a major challenge. The other major challenge is if we have habitats at the lunar South Pole, the sun is almost always at the horizon, if you can see it. So what that means is that there's a lot of deep shadows, and for astronauts and for automatic devices that need a certain kind of light to operate and to survive, those deep shadows engender very, very large contrasts, which can be difficult to maneuver. The last thing I would say is that if that water ice is in one of the deep valleys, to bring it from there to a settlement that's more on the flat terrain further away could be a major engineering challenge, just moving it. So I think our initial foray to the South Pole is mostly for exploration and learning more about the area. And then once we understand it better, to figure out what sort of engineering we have to do in order to actually build there and make use of its resources.
David, you have a question for the professor.
time, we all talk about how to use the water ice. So technologically, can we use it today? Do we know how to do it? And do we have the equipment or the robots to do that? And if we don't, what's the technology readiness level and when will we be able to do that?
So we understand the chemical and physical processes by which we can extract the water ice and there and therefore the oxygen and the hydrogen from the regolith down there. But it's a very, depending on the process, it could be very energy intensive. So energy, of course, then becomes an important factor. And then there are the same issues that we see elsewhere on the moon where we have issues with the regolith. The regolith, you know, it's electrostatically charged. It floats around. Anytime we have machinery working around, it'll put it into suspension. It'll get into the gears. So there are technologies that we need to develop further. I would say we're probably below 5 TRL for the full spectrum of technologies that we need, even though we understand the physical processes on how to do that.
Professor, do we need humankind on the moon in order to achieve what you're talking about? Can this be done with robots? I'm reading Asimov again. You know, I decided it was time to check in with the three laws of robotics, so I'm keen on them. Can they do everything we're talking, we want to do at the South Pole?
Not today. Robotics is advancing very rapidly, but it still has major hurdles. So we have the hardware issues, the structures itself and how to make them work and operate properly. And then we have the software issues, all the programs that have to be written to operate them. And even though we're quite advanced in a lot of these areas, we're really not at the point where I would say confidently that we can send robots to the moon and have them operate independently. In fact, I would bet 100% against that for today.
David, you have a question.
Sure, Chaim, is the water ice replenishing itself, or once we start using it, are we draining the reserves of the water ice? And what are the forecasts or estimates for how long it might last or what kind of populations it might serve?
The water ice is replenishing itself, but it replenishes on a very slow scale because it really is replenishing through atomic elements hitting the lunar surface. But from the estimates, it seems like there's a lot of water there that could last a very long time. And I can't give you a specific estimate because it depends on how rapidly we build settlements and how fast we use that resource. But I would say we certainly have enough for a very long time before we have to start worrying about it being depleted. And by the time it starts being depleted, I think we'll have enough advanced technologies that we can actually transport what we need and maybe even develop other technologies.
SpaceX has a Starship. It hasn't flown yet, but the idea is to put an enormous amount of tonnage into moon orbit, Earth orbit and moon orbit. It's a dream come true if it works, Chaim. What scale of tonnage do we need? Has anybody done any back of the envelope, if they still use that metaphor, back of the envelope calculations? How many missions, how many tons?
I would say for the early missions, we would need perhaps a dozen of the largest rockets as far as the mass that they can carry. I really envision that our development on the moon being in small steps, first bringing some technologies that can maybe develop their own habitats autonomously, try to cover them with regolith autonomously, as you were saying, John, as much robots as possible. And then at the same time, the technology is really not our only roadblock. A parallel, perhaps bigger roadblock, is just a human physiology and understanding how humans respond to the low gravity, how to shield them. There's increasing interest in the lava tubes, where we can actually shield large quantities of people and materiel underground. But as you were stating earlier, we really have to develop a lot of the robotics because almost all the construction, all the mining, all the manufacturing really will depend on robots because people will not be able to operate very easily on a lunar surface.
Professor Chaim Ben-Aroy of Rutgers University, author of several visionary books, most notably Lunar Settlements, Advances in Engineering series, David Livingston, Dr. Space, Hotel Mars Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.